The idea of tuning a sound box was to bring it to the highest point of efficiency. But curiously enough, with acoustic records, you could make a sound box which was better on vocals than an average box, or better on orchestral than an average box. You could also make an average box that would do both fairly well. But if you were a vocal specialist, you would have a sound box tuned especially to suit vocal sounds. Not only that, some people used to have as many as five different sound boxes for different things.
So the hi-fi nut of the 1970s had its equivalent in the 1920s?
Oh, definitely. Probably more so, because today things are done for them and one pickup does the lot. But in those days, they could see slight differences, which I don't think people see today.
But, I mean, with all your skill in tuning sound boxes, didn't it really fall short of what we hear today?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, the range of response is very much greater today. The background noise is very much less, although people complain today of a slight click. Or the record is really a miracle. There's no question about it. It's one of the greatest pieces of precision instrument making there is today, is the record. But the earlier records crackled and hissed all the time, that maybe you living with it, you didn't notice it so much. Why you complain about the clicks today? It's so quiet until one comes along.
Now, your brother-in-law was E.M. Gin, which was a very famous name in the old acoustic days. He used to produce, what, the very best acoustic machines with horns that looked like, what, elephant trunks?
Elephant trunks, yes.
And they were, what, some of them 4 feet across?
Well, I think 3'6" was the widest we could get through a person's doorway. And sometimes we had to bend them oval shape and pull them out to round after we got them through. But we did make one 4 feet across for Percy Wilson, and he couldn't get it inside at all, so he had to play it in the garden.